Hey folks, did the Austin Music Census findings bum you out? Take a deep breath. The business of music in Austin, Texas is alive and kicking. Join us Wednesday, August 5th at 7 p.m. at the 1-to-1 Bar when the Austin Music Foundation presents The Music Business is Dead, a panel discussion on what it takes for you to create a sustainable career and thrive in this business of music. With a great panel of musicians and music business folks moderated by me. Yes, that's right. Go to theaustinmusicfoundation.org for details and I'll see you there. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Ah, man, the episode 401. We're into it now. We're into the 400s. Sneaking up on us, 400s. 500 will be here before we know it, you know? I want to thank everyone that came out to episode 400, the recording last week. That was great, you know? It's been kind of a whirlwind lately, you know, for me. I went to the beach for a few days with my family, came back, did that episode 400, jumped on a plane, went to New York City, went out with a friend of mine, went to Connecticut, played a show, came back from Connecticut to New York City, hung out in New York City, went to the Met, went to the New York City Museum. Great time up there. I do realize, though, that, man, that Times Square. Now, I don't normally go there. I don't want to go there. It's not my kind of place, but we stayed there. We stayed right there in the middle of Times Square in a hotel. And man, that madness, the energy there, the lights, just the electricity going on through the place, everyone's phones just going, everyone's taking pictures, taking selfies. There's people dressed up like animals, people dressed up like kind of Elmo so that they don't get sued. The Hulk, Captain America, Naked Cowboy, Naked Chicks now. They have chicks that paint the thing on their boobs and they walk around with their boobs out and, you know, salivating weird tourists and dads like, oh, I'll get my picture taken with them. Come on. Just craziness, absolute insanity, tons of energy. Did I get something from it? Yeah. I don't know what yet. I'm still processing it. You know, I'm still trying to find out what it was that that happened when I was there. I felt depleted though yesterday, man. I got up and just couldn't get functioning. I did manage to get it together for an hour, sit down and talk to David and Jedediah from this amazing 10-piece Afrobeat psych band called Continental Drift from right here in Austin, Texas. They have an EP that's about to come out. It's their debut EP. They're an amazing band, man. Totally like African-driven music, like the West African, like Fela Kuti and all these kind of bands. You can find out all about them by going to ContinentalDriftMusic.com. They have some shows coming up Friday. They'll be at Stay Gold. That's Friday, August 7th. On Sunday, they do a monthly residency at Stay Gold. And this Sunday, August 9th, they'll be there. And on Saturday, August 22nd, Solstice presents a Continental Drift EP release at the Scoot Inn. Okay? I want to thank the people from Solstice for setting this up. They actually turned me on to Continental Drift. So thank you, Matt, and thank you, Lauren. And we have a great conversation. David and Jedediah are great guys. They really, really tried to do something special, and I think they really did. And they're honoring a style of music and bringing it into the now. So sit down and enjoy my conversation with them coming up in just a minute. I got a few more announcements to make. If you live in Austin, I'll be on KLBJ tonight, August 4th, Tuesday, August 4th at 11 p.m. I'll be on Local Licks with Loris Lowe talking about the podcast. She invited me on when she found out we were doing 400 episodes or episode 400 last week. I want to thank everyone. I want to thank the Townsend for having us. I want to thank the Word Company for recording it. I've been having a great time with those guys. I want to thank all the guests, Nakia, AJ Vallejo, Jazz Mills, Susanna Schofel, and of course, Justin Elliott for coming on. And the Townsend is a great place. So get on out there if you can. And thank you to everyone that came out. We had a great time. It was a long show. If you haven't heard it yet, go on back and listen to it. Episode 400. It's loaded with tons of laughs, lots of cocktails being brought to us throughout the whole show. And it's a loose and fun conversation. Okay. So yeah, I'm getting it back together. I'm going to be moderating this this panel tomorrow night. The Music Business is Dead at the 1 to 1 bar. That's Wednesday, August 5th at 7 p.m. The Austin Music Foundation is having me out. Of course, you heard that at the top of the show. So yeah, we're going to talk about the Austin Music Census findings and what they really mean. Okay? Because it was shocking to get that census, you know? You find out everyone's poor, no one's being able to do anything, the music businesses are all dying, but that's not true. You can flourish, you can work hard, just like my guests, David and Jedediah from the band Continental Drift, all right? Let's sit down and talk to them. They are great guys. They play great music. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy a conversation. It's a great conversation, all right? Here are David and Jedediah from the band Continental Drift, all right? Let's get down. I mean, this is the kind of thing that totally, like, is a great lead-in to you guys, because in a world where it's so hard to get noticed in any way, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
My grandma almost has as many Twitter followers as I do. She didn't even do anything in the business. I'm just joking. But in a world, and it's hard to get people, it's expensive to tour. People have stripped their shit down to 2 to 3 people,
right?
And computers
mm-hmm.
to do everything else. You guys,
complete opposite route.
Yeah, when we have one guy missing, it's like.
I have to say though, I have nothing against. I just actually play guitar with this wonderful artist named Amy Edwards, and she does. You know, there's some keyboards and stuff like that on there, and mm-hmm. they do that thing. There's some weird sounds and stuff that go through. And they play to these things, and I think that that's a mindset. But I have nothing against that.
Right.
But for me personally, I'm not in it to follow some thing that's right. computed.
Right.
I'm in it for the human interaction with the people, and that's Absolutely. Obviously what you guys are
Absolutely.
Into.
Right. Absolutely.
It's not like you're trying to make $1 million
totally.
With your 10 people. And I mean, that's a lot of people. But to do what you guys do. I mean, it's instrumental music,
uh-huh.
and so you have, I mean, there's so many voices, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everyone's voice comes through, and it's heard, and it's exciting. You have 8-minute songs. I don't listen to a lot of bands that have 8-minute songs.
Right. Well, I mean, and you're
fucking
not,
great, though.
You know, and that's you're not supposed to have that long a song if you're, especially, you know.
If you're mean, no, because those 3 chords and just 1 dude will kill you.
Right. I mean, and, you know, a lot of people will say is you're starting off as, even especially when you're starting off as a band, you know, do shorter songs that are more like
but that's not what you're doing.
And then once you get some notoriety, then you can stretch your legs, and it's just like, well, that's just not, you know, the music we're playing is like, it spans a lot of genres, but it's Afrocentric.
It is.
And that stuff is all about layers, and you just like, you know, have some little thing going and you throw another layer.
Right,
and
bringing in
all of those layers.
That's why you need 2 yeah. percussionists and a drummer, because
right.
they're not all going.
Right,
they're building a rhythm
yeah.
by you know, playing counter rhythms to each other,
absolutely,
and polyrhythms and whatever mm-hmm. they can bring up through each other. Yeah, it's beautiful. And what you're doing, I think, in a way, this is funny to say, but you know, if you can make people dance, they'll come to your thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's absolutely. The other thing about Afrocentric music is mm-hmm. you can't help but move, you know?
Totally.
And you guys, I mean, it's...
It's rewarding, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I've been in a funk band before, and, you know, people like to dance, but what's really cool, like, about this music is most people have heard something, like, kind of like it, but, you know, Afrobeat and Afrofunk and, like, Afro-Latin stuff is something that most people really haven't heard much of. So that, and they hear it, and in a live setting, it's something completely different. So
right.
Like, man, what is this? It's like, it's approachable, but I, like I feel kind of familiar, but it's something I haven't really heard.
Yeah. In the world of America, I mean, I'm Cuban, and so I grew up with that stuff.
Right.
And I can tell the difference between artists and stuff, and I can, you know, I can hear that what you guys are doing from that, like I can hear that music and what you're doing, but then I can also totally hear that there's a drum set in it. Normally, there's not an actual drum set, right. You know what I mean? It's like a bunch of different guys, but it's, you're doing the same thing, essentially. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think it's great. So
it's a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
I appreciate it, man.
How, I mean, it's not like you're a Mother Falcon or Polyphonic Spree, but logistically, how hard
is
it?
I like those bands,
though. I like them too, but I can't watch them because I go into a state of anxiety just going like, how do you get that guy to show up on time? You know what I mean? Like, how do you stop for gas when you're on the, how many cars do you have to, I mean, how many vans?
I mean, we're new. We haven't even done any touring. Like, our first show was a little over a year ago, and I mean, just
in San Marcos.
In San Marcos.
So you did tour, man.
Yeah, we've gone to San Marcos twice now, and
two San Marcos shows.
We're planning on going on up to Denton and Dallas, and maybe even Oklahoma, because we have like connections up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then over to Houston, San Antonio. But I mean, with 10 people, like, and people have jobs or in other bands, you know, just like getting people to get to rehearsal and then get gig. Into gigs is just like it's
so you book a
kind
gig.
Of a nightmare right
I can only yeah. imagine dude.
but then like you know it's stressful it's awful sometimes but like then
it's worth it man.
Then once you but when you're on stage and you're connecting with that yeah. many people at the same time
that's
and
amazing.
and you like hit that thing where everyone feels it and you all know it you know and you kind of look at each other and Jed and I especially will look like there will be moments where I just like look over at him and we're both like, yeah.
Yeah, it's this is great.
That thing. Because
yeah.
all of a sudden, everyone elevates. And when you have 10 people doing that at the same time, it's like 10 times as powerful. You know, it's... And then you look out and people are feeling it on the dance floor, you know, that's... And it's worth it, you know?
Totally. Man, I can only imagine... I mean, I think that also, like, summer, like when I was listening to your music, not that there has to be, like... seasonal specific music, but
right.
your music really feels like, you know,
it's the heat.
Like you want to
yeah.
dance.
Against,
yeah,
the sweating
get
people.
Sweaty.
You guys
yeah,
are
yeah,
sweating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it just feels right to be kind of sweating and dancing to it.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
How long are your shows? I mean, what do you guys?
We can play anywhere from like. I mean, I think the shortest we've done right now was like 30, and that's yeah. kind of hard to.
And that's weird for us.
Yeah, that's like only 3 or 4 songs.
Right.
You know. But we can do up to like an hour and a half now without a break.
Well, we're
I think.
Doing. I mean, we're doing 2 hour.
Well, but we have
stay
gold
sets
stuff.
With like a 15
a
minute. So we basically have like an
yeah
hour 45.
I mean, we have a couple hours with the music now, which isn't really even that many songs. But it's so we do those stay gold shows now, and so it's about an hour 45 minutes because we have the set break and we play all but one of our songs. You know,
that's awesome.
I mean, learning songs with all these people, it's. You know, it's it takes a while.
Yeah,
it does
a
take
process,
a while. How does that work? Like, how does the making of the music go?
Well,
and how much is open when you're live with three people? You can make shit up if you want to,
right.
and everyone can follow. There's an eyesight. I believe that mm-hmm. that triangular eyesight makes it easy to do it because when you add a fourth person, it's kind of harder to mm-hmm. just make stuff up
right.
or mm-hmm. or go to you know. With 10, but it seems like the kind of music that you do mm-hmm. would lend itself to some sort. Do you have like a set amount of bars for someone to improvise? Obviously, you have to write horn lines. These guys,
yeah,
right.
There's a good bit of improvisation.
Okay,
that goes
yeah.
on.
I mean,
so how does it work?
It's the funny thing is like, so we'll as far as that aspect of it, we'll get a song like mostly ready and go out and perform it, and
yeah.
It'll be a little bit looser. And a lot of times that first time, it'll work really well. And mm-hmm. we just like all communicate and it just happens. And then sometimes
it
like,
doesn't work so
at
well.
Another show, like it, I mean, we've gotten better and better, like feeling each other and being able to play it off and people don't really realize it. But
yeah.
everyone in the band knows like, this yeah. we're like,
kind
we
of
didn't
that
quite,
one up
we
a little
didn't
bit.
Quite do it where like, we weren't quite on the same page. So,
right.
I mean, it's just kind of a back and forth thing. And we kind of just figure out when we need to be, like, after a while, okay, guys, we need to nail this down. After we've, like, played around with it, it shows, like, okay, this is going to be 16 bars here, and then we'll have, you know, 2 bars of,
okay.
of this coming in.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
we always,
yeah.
like, work it out live first, and then...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like comedy.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean? You improvise it into a point where you're ready to work it. Like, you
sometimes
workshop it.
But no, the mistakes that happen, like, on the stage
that could be
can get worked into the song.
Totally.
And have when the, actually...
Our, yeah, what the, one of our... The songs that our most recent songs happen that way. Like, we, someone, I don't even remember who, a couple of us missed the section. I mean, we'd only, like, played it a couple times in rehearsal and then, you know, missed the section. And then I just ended up, like, everyone just set into a groove and I just kind of soloed. And now it's in the song right there. We've just decided, okay, actually worked. So let's
do
it.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke,
doesn't always work that way, but it's cool when it does, you know.
Yeah, is that did you guys start the band?
Yeah,
Jedediah
mm-hmm.
and David.
Yeah,
all right.
This is our baby.
This is your baby. What were you doing before this?
We met.
You doing something together?
Yeah, we work at Thai Fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Restaurant over Mary Street. Yeah.
You did.
We
do.
We still do.
We still
yeah.
do.
Yeah. I actually have to go there in a little bit. I have to be there in a little bit.
I think I have to go there.
Yeah,
it's starving.
It's great.
So
yeah, we would just... it kind of started off... well, for me personally, I went to ACL a few years back, I guess, and saw Auntie Balas.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard those guys, they're... absolutely incredible. It's they're kind of like the Afrobeat band of
today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the United States.
What were you really doing before world. That? Before this ACL show, what you were in a funk band?
I was in the past, but I hadn't been playing like for a little while, and it was, you know, not I wasn't happy with that.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like, you know, logistical things and life it's tough. And then I went to that show and I'd never seen anything like that. And I was like, man, I didn't know this existed. Like, I've always loved like funk music but this is like more hypnotic and it's got this tribal feel to it. And it's just like,
yeah.
It's that this kind of driving there's, you know, through most of it, there's just kind of like,
yeah.
Through it. And it's like infectious, you know? And
yeah.
And then, so then that kind of got going. And then Jed and I would go to Hardproof shows. Have you seen Hardproof?
Uh-uh.
Excellent band.
Yeah. They're based out of here, actually. Austin,
and they're pretty much like straight up instrumental Afrobeat.
Oh,
whereas
wow.
we're like
yeah.
all kinds of different styles mixed together.
Right.
They're like straight up Afrobeat, Afro soul, a little bit of Ethiopian stuff. And
wow.
So we started going to those shows, and
that was my first actually introduction into that style of music. And I was just, I went crazy. I went nuts.
Yeah.
Cause like, I don't know. I was, I really love Santana. That was one of the things that early on in my life, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, but just that idea of like this many people creating this one sound and like all working together to make that happen.
Yeah.
And so seeing something else like that, not quite, you know, what Santana was doing, but like with the horns and everything and then the crazy rhythms and
yeah.
And just like, for me, I love the bass. I'm the bass player, but it's like that is a really driving force for me too. And I just dug that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I guess basically, you know, we just talked like, yeah, man, it'd be cool to do something like this. And I ended up like running into a couple of my friends from high school at those shows. And then I also saw them at like a Snarky Puppy show. I don't know if you heard them, but...
No, but I need to hang out with you guys. Some bands.
Yeah, they were from Denton and then like moved up to New York. It's kind of like a progressive jazz, like... Anyway.
They're insane.
they're
awesome.
They're nuts. But so... I saw these people and like, oh man, it'd be fun to do this stuff. And we just kind of talked about it like, yeah, we should do it. But
I was like, and David, then I would keep call like, your friends,
I would keep
dude.
Talking about it to Jed, and he would, and then Let's there was one it. Day where he was like, David, just, he's like, he looked at me, kind of grabbed me, he was like, just do it, like, right now. And I just, that night, I just started, like,
reaching out to do
texting and messaging, and then it took a long time
Very
to get
long.
The lineup together. It was
frustrating. You went through several lineup changes.
Like, just, I mean, because this was, like, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This was fall, and we were just, like, we had, like, the core, like, four people, mm-hmm. and four or five, and just everyone else was just, like, we'd bring people in, and people would get kind of, like, I mean, because the music necessitates 9 or 10 parts, and when you only have a few working, and you're trying to figure the other stuff out, everyone's just, like, man, this is, like,
sucks.
This is not together. Yeah, like, yeah. We're like, well, yeah, it, you know, it can't be together until we're all like, we got to put in some time and feel each other out, and we need to add a key player and add a guitar player, and then we'll get another horn player and we'll get some more percussion. But to other people who aren't like, who don't know or aren't invested in this vision, and all they see, they come in for an audition, they're just like, it sounds cool, guys. Like, I wish you the best of luck, but this is like,
yeah.
So we just,
it was really rough that winter too, because we were just, everyone was having to deal with like, you know, family holiday stuff and going out of town, and I almost thought we weren't even going to make it through that.
There were a lot of times where I thought it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, totally.
And we finally just like, I was like, okay, guys, I'm booking a gig.
Why did you keep on? What made you keep on? I mean, what made you not get discouraged? You believed in what you were doing?
Yeah. I mean, we were discouraged, but...
We definitely were.
No,
definitely.
But I mean discouraged to the point where you're like, oh, right. Hey, dude, let's start a rock band.
Just because... Oh, no. I mean, it was just like...
I've been in nothing but rock mostly band. Mostly punk bands before this group, and so I'm really happy to be doing something different.
from just, punk to this, I will say this, and I'm not trying to be a jerk or douchey.
That's fine.
There's a lot more chicks at this kind of show than... at a punk show.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And
I'm still in a punk band, by the way. Yeah.
Best of both worlds, right?
Exactly.
Angry dudes.
They're called Bad Dad.
Oh, really? That's awesome. So how many bands, I mean, okay, so wait a minute. Let's go back. So you finally solidified the lineup when? Like earlier this year or late last year?
No,
or?
it was earlier last.
Okay.
Well, actually, it was like May of last year.
Mm-hmm. So then at that point you guys get together, but then you got to gel.
Yeah.
Like it's got to sit in the pot and let the flavors mix up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it took some time. Like, but I mean, we had enough going for us. Like the music was good. We were doing mostly,
covers.
It was all covered except for just one song that, that I'd written, just like on my GarageBand, adding in layers, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, with this kind of music, none of us had played it before. So it's like, we need to play like some Fela Kuti, and we need to play some stuff that we really like.
Get inside
and
of that
figure
music.
Figure out how to,
how it works.
How it feels.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one has heard any of this music. So it's not like they're like, oh, it's like, not like you would call it a cover band because no one's heard any of the songs. They're just like,
no. I thought you wrote all
the
songs.
Well, any
ones
of them,
on your EP?
Yeah,
you wrote those.
Oh yeah,
we wrote those.
But we
only still only have like 5 completed originals, which I mean that's like 45 minutes worth of music. But it was just really important for us to like it was silly to just try to start writing this music and playing it.
When you don't know really how it works.
We need to like see how it feels, and
you needed to get into let it get inside you. Too.
And it took a while before like the originals came out pretty slowly, but I think that's exactly what needed to happen. And now like this year, all of a sudden they're starting to really come out. We got a few new ones added recently, and then the ideas are flowing. I mean, we know how to write it.
So how does it come up? Do you come up with like an idea, the germ of the idea, the structure, and then you come in? Because do you write the horn lines and shit? Or
I write most of the horn lines.
Oh, really?
I was a sax player, and I actually started this band as the sax player,
recovering sax player.
And that's like what I played in school. And
okay.
I didn't really like not a good guitar player. I always had one around to noodle on, but
right.
And then I ended up having to I have like some jaw problems, and once I started playing saxophone again, it started like hurting, giving me headaches, and the doctor was like, yeah, I mean, you might have to have surgery and braces, and like your mouth is going to be wired shut for a couple months, and like we're not sure when or if that's exactly what'll happen, but you know, this, like, we're practicing saxophone all the time and not what I could be doing. Yeah. So I was just like, well, shit, man, I already got like these four or five people. This is
would have fucking, that's like being, I mean, being a bass player. Hey, man, we're going to have to like smash your fingers.
Right.
break your fingers and then have them in a brace for a couple of months. Yeah, it's terrible.
But
something, man.
But I mean, like you said, the whole being discouraged, like something about this band, just like, I was like, no.
You fought for it.
I'm like, I kind of know how to play. I was like, maybe I'll do keys or guitar. Yeah. I have some background in keys and like, I have a good ear, so that helps. But I was just like, not. So it was basically like who we could find, and it was actually really interesting. The guitar player was the hardest thing for us to find, which I would think in this town like be the opposite.
Yeah, you could
but we
throw a rock in here.
I think part of it though is like these guitar parts are like, you know, it's. For most of the song,
they're
very
not,
much the same.
Some people are like, man, right. I want to rock out. It's like, well you'll get there, but
yeah, there'll be a time where you can.
90% of the song, you're going to be playing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I ended up going, okay, well, I kind of know how to play guitar. I'd never used a pick, and this music is all pick.
Total
stuff.
Picks, yeah.
But I was just like, there was something. It was like, I have to make this happen. Like. There was no question as to whether this band was going to happen. It was like, okay, screw it. I can't play the sax, so I'm right. going to just, this will force me to learn guitar. And
yeah.
It's doing that.
So you guys are into more of the West African.
Yeah, West African. I mean, and like, definitely some Ethiopian stuff. And
I don't know a lot of Ethiopian stuff.
There's a guy named Malatu Astatke.
I've heard that name.
Probably heard a couple of his songs.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you see Broken Flowers by chance?
Yeah.
So there's a song that goes through that a lot, and it's a Malatu Astatke song. It's like,
yeah.
That's Ethio jazz. That's
there's also Haller Mergia. He's really great. Mulatu actually did some vibraphones for him on an album of his, and it's got that song. Musically,
Silt or something
Still,
like that.
Silt,
something
Slit.
Like that.
Yeah.
That stuff's great.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
I used to. Well, I got into it when I was a kid. There's a guy here in town named Mark Hallman, and he owns this recording studio called the Congress House. And he was kind of like my mentor when I was a kid, and he was into like some South African stuff. But he was the guy that turned me on to Fela, and. And then I kind of found some, but like when I was a kid, there wasn't the internet, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like.
To me, that's my favorite part of the internet.
It wasn't like Sam Goody was carrying a bunch of West African music, you know what I mean?
Totally.
I don't even know. Sam Goody, they got that in San Marcos. Or maybe, don't they still have one?
I don't know.
Probably.
I see them in weird towns.
Sounds like it, yeah.
I wonder what that sound is. Sounds like someone outside. Freaking out. Anyway, so but I found this a podcast of a radio show that was from a college station like WFVU or something, like somewhere on the East Coast, that did like a 3-hour program, but they didn't tell you what it was. Mm-hmm. But it's like these 3-hour programs are just like endless West African like dance, and I was specifically 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, even the cooler, you know.
Right.
And those guitar tones are totally out there, man.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, we definitely, like, we started out, it's like, let's do an Afrobeat band, and then it ended up being, like, I mean, I've always been so ADD with my music stuff. Like,
yeah.
I've always had, like, GarageBand and just played around with it and tried making up different types of tunes and, a lot of them kind of would get funky or whatever, but this was cool because I was just like, okay, we're starting a band. open up GarageBand file and just like, and it worked great with how I, the only way I really know how to write songs, which is like layers. Mm-hmm.
So you write while you record while you write.
That's how I write.
You don't sit there with a pen and a piece of paper.
No, I just like, if I have either a, it might be a guitar line or a bass line or whatever, but I would just, I'll just plug in and just like start just one and loop it and ding 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 ding, and then I'll just play that on loop, and then I'll think of like, oh, the bass would be cool if it's going boom boom bing boo dee boo dee boo bee,
right,
and then just like start adding layers and filling it out, and you know, I'll end up scrapping some of them, and then so then I'll just have a section of a song, you know,
right,
and then I'll like, okay, what should come after that or before it, or what's something that sounds like it should be in the song somewhere, and I'll get it on there, and then I'll work on transitions, and then basically get like 80 to 90% of the song done, and then bring it to the band and play it over the speakers and
flesh
and then teach people the parts.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps having been a sax player that I can write horn parts like a horn player.
Right. Yeah, because those are legitimate horn parts. They're not like if I wrote them. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate that. And then everyone will do their thing, like, and do it better. Because, you know, I can play the drums and the bass and the keys, but all at, like, you know, kind of a mediocre, well enough to be able to write. But then
and well enough to kind of express
flavor.
The feeling that you're trying to get out, but not the technical ability to really.
Right. And especially those other, is, you know, and when I'm like recording it to try to show people, like, you know, I have to keep re-recording it because I'm not that good on that instrument. I know the part I want to play and I can do it, but it's not clean. But anyway, so I get it out there, and then everyone feels it out. They add each person adds their own flavor to it. And then inevitably we'll end up like as a band changing a section or say,
tightening things up
and then like throwing in,
it'd be cool if
throwing
this
in a new horn line that one of the horn players thinks of. So, so it's always like it's like mostly done, and then we're like, okay, but this isn't done. Like, it never feels finished. I'm just like, okay, guys, this is most of it, but I'm kind of stuck as to where to end it, or I want to have a B section here, and then we flesh that out together.
Yeah,
and then sometimes like we'll record that, and then I'll go home and listen to that, and then get back into writing, and then we just go back and forth.
Do you guys have a place where you rehearse?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
down like a music lab.
Oh,
music
okay.
Lab, yeah, we have just a week. We're in there with someone else who just has that room.
Oh, okay. So you
so
split
it's like
the room.
Our space.
Okay,
you know,
that's good. Yeah.
But I mean, lately now, like Jed has a song that we're gonna start on soon, and Casey, our keyboard player. Wrote a song that we're playing now.
Oh,
so we're
great.
starting to
branch out.
Yeah.
And people are getting it, and you don't have to carry the load of sort of the creative
right.
thing.
No, and it's all great. Like, as long as it, like...
fits.
As long as it fits, and it's not... I mean, obviously, our style is all over the place, but there's still, like, a common thread that feels like us in all of it.
Right. You know? Did you guys play Solstice Fest?
No, God, we wanted to, and Matt and
well,
Lauren
I did
were...
in my other band, though, actually.
Oh, yeah.
What band?
Bad Was Dad, the punk band.
I did not see Bad Dad.
Oh, well, we were at the actual festival. We were at one of, like, the pre-parties and stuff. It was really cool, though.
I was at, I was there, and then it was really hot, and I played a couple of outdoor shows the couple of days before, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go home and kind of...
So humid that day.
Cool out for a little while.
We checked out Money Chicha.
I was there for that. I love those guys. I was going to ask you guys if you knew them, because although they're a little bit more on the Latin tip,
for sure,
it's definitely a band that matches yours.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you guys could have.
We were trying to get them to play our album release. They were one of the, you know, we had like a group of bands that were like, these would be the ideals, and they have a group with, they have a gig with I think Grupo Fantasma or Brownout, one of their other
Brownout,
you know, much higher profile.
Yeah,
both of those bands are insanely popular now.
Yeah,
they're incredible.
Yeah, I have I think that the whole band is great, but I have this special place in my heart for Adrian.
Oh man,
he's just he's a music hero, super cool dude, and I did this Elliot Smith tribute show a few years ago, and he was one of the guitar players. It's not really what you'd think he would.
Oh wow! Yeah,
you wouldn't think of him as a guy on a in the backing band where they have a bunch of people singing Elliott Smith songs, but he was killer. And then the more I see him play, just the more I'm, you know.
He works too. I mean, that, you know, they've Money Teacher and Grupo and Brownout, like, to have.
And he's in that band that, like, they were on Letterman last year and they had that hit, Spanish Gold. He's in that band with the dude from My Morning Jacket.
Really? I'm not even.
Yeah, they had a legitimate hit last summer.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even to me, like, you know, Brownout is huge right now with their Brown Sabbath stuff. Absolutely. Like,
yeah. And those guys, those Grupo backed up Prince, man.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah, he had them come be his band.
That, like, and
that
after
makes
that,
my arms stand up.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got that too. Yeah. And they just played at one of his, I might be getting this completely wrong, but I think they played at one, like, some bar. I don't know if it was his or if he was just there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, in,
yeah. And he freaked
somewhere out
him.
East, and he was like, holy shit, these guys are amazing. And he had them, like, didn't they play the
Super Oscar
Bowl
party
or
the,
I don't
yeah,
know,
like,
it's some big,
some kind of thing, yeah. Like his Oscar party or his Grammy, I think his Grammy party.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
And then they ended up winning a Grammy. Like,
yeah.
Like, those, I mean, but that's, like, what got them into the, like, national or international
but also,
consciousness.
Also, back to you guys, though, let's,
yeah.
Those guys are doing all right on their own.
Yeah, they're
You guys have that, the ability, like, I see you guys as, like, a festival band. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
That'd be cool.
I see that, nice. Like, I mean, I better be nice to be playing on a bigger stage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're very used to, like, I mean, it's always, like.
Stay Gold has got a really tiny stage. I
yeah,
love
I mean,
it there, but.
We're used to being just, right up against
sometimes
each other.
Sometimes those
and
are the
Jed
neck and
moves around,
neck.
Too, yeah. When he plays. Jed's, like.
I like to dance.
He dances around, like, I can't play and dance around like that, but Jed's, like, all. People always love seeing Jed on stage because he's just like, he's yeah. doing what like I'm doing inside my head. He's like,
yeah.
his body's doing it.
Is it weird? I guess it's not. I mean, just sometimes to me, it feels like it would be weird to not be saying stuff to the audience in your song with words and singing.
I think the music kind of says that all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it's just.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we've talked about it, like, we just got a new conga player, and he was mentioning the other day how it'd be cool to have, like, just, you know, a little bit of, like, something
some
thrown in there.
Something like that.
Definitely.
And I'm
that
totally
idea.
Down for that, but it's
it
just kind
goofy.
Of been, and it can't be forced. It needs to just be, like, I don't want it to be, like, okay, we want to add that into our music, now let's figure out where it would fit. I want it to just be, like,
hey, that just
come
happened.
Out,
yeah.
What does this need right now? Like, it needs to come organically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's definitely good to have it in your mind as an option. You know, I want to keep that there. But it's, like, you know, part of it definitely, like, we never planned on having, like, a lead singer because it's, like, it just doesn't feel right without having someone who can have the voice. You know, like, and that's, you know, like, none of us, like,
yeah, it's bogus
gonna, even,
if you're
even
gonna
if
try
can,
and sing
even
in that
if, even
sort
if we
of...
can sing, it's just like it I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like if we had the right person, maybe, you know, but that's just not really in the plans. It's like maybe someday we definitely would want to, like, do some projects with people, and we've kind of talked to a couple people.
Oh yeah, that would be
and
cool
where they come in and
maybe and, someone will ask you.
Yeah.
Like, well, hey, we guys come, you know,
the
collaborate
more,
with me on this stuff.
Well, yeah, we've already had a little bit of that, but that hasn't fully fleshed out, so I don't want to, like, go into it too much. But some really exciting prospects in that arena.
We're going to be playing the Super Bowl with Prince.
Right. Yes.
So this record, you obviously did this. This is your first recording that's out there.
Yes.
It's an EP.
Uh-huh.
And you did it at Ohm Studios in May, or mm-hmm. Ohm Recording Facility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Chico Jones.
Yeah.
That's the engineer there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously you did it live.
Yeah.
Did you do it entirely live?
We did it
mostly
live. So we recorded everything live. We had, like, in the main room, we had drums, guitars, bass, and keys, and all of our stuff was you know, just routed out. Our amps were in another room.
Sure, sure.
And then in the vocal room, there were the horns. Two auxiliary percussions.
Oh, okay.
And then in the room with Chico in the control room, we did the horns. And I haven't been in a lot of studios, but I'd never seen this. He had them play without headphones and just listening through the monitors, and they loved it.
Like, yeah.
They'd all recorded plenty of times, and they'd never had that. And they loved it because they could actually hear each other.
Yeah.
Like, actually hear each other, not through...
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
So, I mean, there are definitely some disadvantages to that, but... and, you know, sometimes, like... And we definitely went in, and, like, there are a couple things we had to clean up.
Sure.
And we went back in with the keys, and like he played all of it on a MIDI keyboard initially, and then he went back in and overdubbed like the real instruments.
Yeah.
Just because trying to like set up each one of those for each song, like it would have not been time efficient. So we just like he just did it that way, and then went back in and recorded. But aside from that, and like spitting in a couple, like getting a couple different options for solos, like, I mean, it was
sure.
Like we,
that I mean, it was organic the whole way through.
It would have felt,
and that, yeah,
it would have just not felt right doing like
piecemeal.
I mean, all the music that I've recorded in the past of, like I said, I just layer myself
yourself
over to,
right, yeah, yeah,
and that's great, but not for
what you guys are trying
to like that
put out,
that feeling.
Not that vibe, yeah, because that's, I mean, a lot of what you're doing too.
I'm really happy with the record, but there's like, it still doesn't capture like the live show is what it's about.
Yeah.
But you can get closer to that, at least. You're not going to get it, but you can get closer to that.
I was going to ask you guys, because I think this is a great idea. Do you guys know Bob Schneider?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He records all the shows, has for like 11 years. Mm-hmm. Almost, maybe 12 years. Every show, it used to be you'd buy a CD after the show. They'd burn these things. They have this massive CD burner thing at the merch booth and shit. And now it's just a, you know, you get a little, what are those things?
USB Flash, stick.
Yeah, USB stick.
Yeah, yeah.
But you guys could totally, I bet you guys could do that. You just have to find someone that's badass enough to record it.
Yeah. And, you know, money's tight.
Money's tight. I know.
And, I mean, there's a, you know, part of that, like that, that census, you know, it's, they're not.
That's what the census.
Much.
That's the end of the whole. Like the actual, the point of the whole census is, just not a lot of money out there,
right?
You and, just can't.
And you know, we're all like, and I've been really lucky to, like Jed and I, having had this vision, and having these eight other people who are willing to do this and essentially pay to do it because you know we have to like, sometimes we don't even have enough in the band fund to pay for the rehearsal space, and it has to be like. Most of the time, it's out of our pockets, you know.
That's going to change, I promise, man. Once you guys get out there, and just the feeling of your music, and it feels so good, I could see people hiring you for private parties, just like they do with Grupo and all those guys. I mean,
it definitely feels like that could totally happen. And we're really happy with how things are going, how things are spreading. It's, you know, most our gigs like. We still haven't really, I know this isn't really normal, but our gigs have like come to us essentially. We, most of them have been, offered. It hasn't been this thing. We're like going out trying to find
that's
gigs.
That's because you have you really do have something special going on. You notice it when you hear the music. I can only imagine what it's like being in the room with you guys when you're playing it live. It must be fucking awesome.
It's wonderful. And I'm really glad that people are responding so well to it. And it's kind of funny too, cause they're like, you know, we definitely have a lot of psychedelic, vibes like weaving through it. But we played, our most enthusiastic crowds have been like at psych shows, where it's
totally,
they're all playing something that's very different from what we're doing. And like I've been nervous like at those show like
they're gonna hate
us. Nervous at every show.
There's this group called Electric Church who throws some really cool shows, and it's mostly like psychedelic rock and a lot of cool stuff, but it's like a lot of it is either real droney or like real 60s like
Jefferson Airplane,
yeah, and it's really cool stuff, but it's like when all the other bands on the lineup or that way, we're like, man, like, how are these people going to feel about it? And
they're going to be
what
stoked.
Are we doing
and
here?
They, yeah, they went crazy. Like, it's
there's elements of what you do that are there of psychedelia for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think that's like it's could hypnotic imagine. And
yeah, some dude smoking doobies at your shows.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It
hey,
works.
Dude. Yeah. So you do have some shows coming up. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Friday, August 7th at Stay Gold, which is this Friday.
Yeah, we're playing with Bamako Airlines.
Right.
Afropop group.
Love those guys.
Amazing musicians.
And go ahead.
I was just saying they're going to be playing at our release show too.
Right, I saw that. We'll get to that in just a second. Okay. Hold on. Then Sunday, you have a monthly residency now. Second Sunday?
Second Sunday of every month.
Of every month at Stay Gold.
Stay Gold. Okay. It's a pretty new club. On East Cesar Chavez. Really cool place.
Yeah. My friend Sarah is doing some jazz stuff there.
Oh, cool.
She likes that place. And then Saturday, August 22nd, your record release at the Scoot Inn.
It's a big one.
Solstice presents Continental Drift EP release with Golden Dawn Orchestra, Telenovela, and Bamako Airlines?
Yeah.
Okay. And Cilantro Boombox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really excited about Boombox. At that lineup.
Yeah.
I haven't seen those guys. I've seen all the other ones.
It's going to be outside, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Outside at Scoot Inn, which really cool spot. And
big, big stage.
And we were just like, man.
I can dance now.
Oh, that's who's got to get to run sound for you is Chris Phelps, sound woman there.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely look into it. Because I don't even know if we have all that completely nailed down. We're going to have this
Tell
cool
Matt,
group called.
That's going to be cool. That'll make your night amazing.
Definitely. I'll listen back to this and write down that name.
I'll write down her name.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's the best.
But yeah, and we're going to have these really cool guys called Etherwave doing visuals. They do like the old 60s style.
Yeah.
They
do the oil lights?
They do that, and then they mix in like crazy video stuff, and they do it in a really cool way. So it's like combining
so
all the different technologies. They have like this huge stack of different projectors
that's
doing
really
things.
Awesome.
So, we're going to have those guys out there, and there'll be vendors, and it's going to be really great. That lineup, I don't know if you've seen Golden Dawn Orchestra, but if you haven't, it's a treat.
I've been trying to get them on here, but I think that they have this thing like, hey, we're all coming on there, and I'm like, the fuck is everyone going to sit?
That's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, they have more people than we do.
They're
a whole, like, experience. True. I have a couple
ensemble.
Friends in that, like, Topaz, the band leader.
Yeah.
And Greg,
I remember him from
Greg
Topaz.
Rhodes. From what?
Didn't he have his band Topaz in the same?
Oh
band?
Yeah, I guess he did. And then I think Mudphonic. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I've heard of them.
But yeah, those guys are absolutely insane. They have dancers and costumes, and it's a whole experience. It's incredible, and they're all like, I know they share some members of Hardproof, and of I think even a. I think Alex was his name Marrero. I think he's in Brownout. But he plays percussion with them. That group of musicians, Golden Dawn Orchestra, they're like a just a bunch of guys who've been doing it for a while, and
yeah,
they're insane.
You know, with your long hair and facial hair, you look like Shooter Jennings. You know
Shooter
that guy?
Jennings. I know the name, but
kid.
I feel like I should know him.
He used to be with that chick from Weeds.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Maybe you can slide in on that chick from Weeds. She's probably old enough to be your mom at this point, but still, you guys watch Weeds?
I used to.
Seen it a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, like, what am I saying? Like, it's still on. I don't...
Right.
Yeah, I remember seeing it like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't even have time for shows anymore.
No.
Pretty
just making music.
Making music
and you guys,
music shows though.
Survive.
Definitely have time for that.
Are you guys can be found at continentaldriftmusic.com. Oh
yes.
You know what? I want to thank Lauren and Matt for
absolutely
writing
thank
me and saying like, hey, check these guys out. And I checked it out. Like, hey, thank you. I'll totally get them on the show.
Yeah.
And then Matt came to my 400th episode last
week. I wanted to go to that.
It was a good time.
They're great.
That
was a great podcast. It was hilarious.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I called you Continental Divide.
Oh no, it's all right, man.
I was in the moment. I was having cocktails. I had people up there.
That's no
and I didn't know you yet. But But yeah, they got, and so because at your show, at the record release show, it's their thing. They're mm-hmm. you know presenting it.
Yeah,
so
we wanted, we wanted to do it.
Yeah,
and we're like, dude, these guys, they're so supportive, and they know how to throw a show. Like,
right.
Let's get the help of them.
Yeah,
and I mean, we love Matt and Lauren. They've been really supportive. They come out to a lot of our shows, and I know they're busy as hell.
Yeah,
and they come out and
they do. Yeah, Matt came out to that show. Yeah. It was very flattering. I was flattered. I was honored that he was there.
But both of them are so committed to being able to help artists create. And
also,
that Solstice Live thing, they're really, like, I think, really trying to be, and I think they'll succeed.
A real thing.
A part of, like, the solution to the problem, the problems that we have in Austin.
I think that just generally across the board in America, mm-hmm. it's difficult because even when people are at your show, they're like fucking,
right.
Like, you know, sometimes I wonder what the fuck people do with all that video. Like, you're just sitting there like, lady, you videotaped the whole show. Like, please don't put it on the internet because you were standing like right by
right.
the speaker
here. Well, the sounds
here,
get terrible.
You know what I mean? It's terrible.
And it's like, they're taking a video so they can try to experience it later. And then
I think they're doing it so they can let everyone know right. that they were experiencing it. But in that moment, they're not experiencing it.
Uh-huh. Well, and also I think there's a little thing where people, and I've found myself doing it too. Like there's a little bit of thing
that's
where you're
the
like,
thing too.
Where you're like, almost feel like you're creating something. You're like, oh yeah, and I can get this cool angle. And like, I want to capture this experience. I mean, that's usually where it is for me. It's like, oh man, this is incredible. I want to capture this.
Right.
And I mean, you never really like, you're not capturing it, but you feel like that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's a thing, but...
that's one of those things, though. I have to say, David, like a month and a half ago, I'm in this band, Skyrocket. Granted, it's a cover band, but uh-huh. When we play, it's a party. You know what I mean? We play these long shows, and it's a great time. Not musically connected to what you do, but definitely the spirit of... You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when people dance and engage and do this whole thing, and it's like, totally. You know, it's a whole communal experience rather than like a singer-songwriter guy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so we had our biggest show we have ever had in Houston outside of like a New Year's Eve. There were hundreds of people there. But the weirdest thing about it was we were in this place that wasn't set up in a way where the room focused on the music. It was a place that didn't have music normally. Right. So it was like this weird kind of, where do I go? And then I noticed that like probably 30% of the crowd was in front of us, engaged with us, mm-hmm. and 60% paying $25 to come see wow. us play was just all around the sides talking and like yeah. doing a thing and like sure. occasionally coming over and taking a picture or whatever. But sometimes it's a scene.
Hmm.
People right. want to go where the people are to have a good time. And luckily, you guys play the kind of music where there will be people coming where they can dance and then more people will come. But then it's a matter of like, hey, you know, we did come here to like, because the music was here.
Yeah.
It's just, it is a tough time. And they are a solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. But I think one more step that they do is that they take their shows more than just a show, because you can't expect people to change the way things, like the way they right. think now. Like, hey, let's go back to how it was in the 70s and just, mm-hmm. you know, come to the show and light a lighter and be all into it. That's not going to happen. But they create these shows where they have more than just the music. Like they have an experience, more of an event where they have vendors and they have all this kind of stuff that bring more people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, absolutely. Especially Lauren really has it good. Yeah. She was doing those $3 shows before yeah. and like, you know, really creating an event more than just a show,
right.
which I think is great.
Totally. And you know, I think like I think one of the biggest issues, and you know, I haven't been in the industry very long, so I might just be off base on this, but it feels like people just aren't, they're not used to paying to see shows. I mean, they'll pay $8 for a drink, but like an $8 cover is like
yeah,
I don't know, man. And I mean, I don't want to like I don't want to just trash talk those people, because I've been there, you know, I've been one of those people before. But I think the biggest thing is if we could like have an outreach to people, because I think there are a lot of people in Austin who would love to support the community, who just don't really realize it. They don't I just don't think they quite understand.
There's a lot of new people here, and it's diffused. Like, our people can't really afford. Like, I was talking to someone this weekend about like where I live. Like, if they tore this place down, I would have to move, you know, way down to one of those crazy south places.
Right.
Because this is, it's not affordable for people like us, or like the kind of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the new people that have come in, like, while yes, they, oh yeah, the Austin music. Yeah, sure. I went to see a band a couple months ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're not actually like, it's weird because I don't know if you've lived here, you're even old enough to remember, but I mean, at some point, that's just what the city was about. I mean, it really was like, up until like the mid 90s, but then things changed. Like, you just, but I think the solstice idea, and my friend Jazz Mills does these Top Girl Productions things where you just create this big event and make it more than just like, you know what I mean?
Because
you got to kind of like bring back the P.T. Barnum aspect of everything. Like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, step right up. There's a fat lady and a bearded lady. You know what I mean? And the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's on the right track.
Right.
I think you guys going beyond kind of what's going on now and like doing something that is a risk and that, you know, is difficult to maintain financially.
Well, I mean, we have 10 people and we're getting paid the same
as a band,
as the one or two person.
Yes.
So, I mean, I would love to be able to like pay out my guys, but it's like, you know, if we make a really, and we have a good, like a well-paying gig booked in Kerrville. Like, it's really funny because we had like our complete rough cuts that were not mixed. They weren't, and we still had to like do overdubs and, they were rough, you know, and our guitar player showed his dad, who's a DJ down in Kerrville, and I guess he ended up playing it on the radio, and Jake told me that, and I was like, oh man, this is bad. Like,
but what happened?
I was like, man, that's our rough cut. That's not sound good. It's not.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we got offered $1,000 gig in Kerrville. And, you know, we don't make that kind of money.
Yeah.
And we make like...
And we're opening for Texas Tornadoes and Fabulous Thunderbirds.
But just because the right person heard it on the radio and like, hey,
I'm telling
those guys.
What you're doing is really special. When those guys sent me the thing like, hey, Continental Drift, and I went and I checked it out, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'll totally have these guys on.
what you're doing is really special.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I mean, you guys are the ones that are making it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, it definitely like, it's rewarding and of itself, but
it's gonna pay off.
Like musicians, non-musicians alike, but also like especially when it's other musicians really appreciating it and responding well, it definitely makes it more worth it. It's not what we do it for, but it makes it a lot more rewarding.
I mean you stand out, and I think if you continue to make sure that you stick to your guns, you will stand out and people will notice it, because it's not like standing out bad. And it's a kind of music that it's not pop, but it's welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like some kind of prog band that you have to have a degree in from University of North Texas.
We've been throwing in some like even like weird prog elements into it, but
it still has a welcoming.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. Less than commercial or more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's welcoming. It's like, hey, come here.
Yeah, we weren't even quite sure how it was going to be received, but that's been really cool to see people who listen to all kinds of different people who listen to all kinds of different stuff really digging it. And I wasn't quite expecting that.
When is that gig in Kerrville?
October like 17th or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. It's a
is it like a big outdoor thing and shit?
I guess so.
Yeah, it's going to be at a park out there.
Jimmy Vaughn and Texas Tornadoes. And
dude, you guys are playing with like, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that. You pay reverence, but like Freddie Fender and Doug Song were in the Texas Tornadoes.
I'm not 5 year old self is
I'm
like,
not super familiar with
super
them.
Excited for that.
But I mean, I definitely know that there's a lot of, like I'm definitely very honored and I'm really excited about that. I mean, and it was just so weird how it happened. Like, wait, we're doing what? And it happened because of like a really rough cut got out, leaked out onto like a radio station in Kerrville. Like, what?
Yeah, well, I'm sure once people start hearing it, they're gonna love it.
I appreciate
so,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. What was I going to say to you guys? I was going to say something. Mm-hmm. I had something on my mind. Oh, last night on the plane, it was JetBlue, and they just show like cable and stuff on there. And then you can buy these movies, but the cable didn't work, so they just gave the movies away for free. So me and my friend Benjamin watched Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Fabulous Thunderbird song in there.
Oh, weird. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome. That's yeah. Nice. I definitely remember going to, when I was little, my parents taking me out and seeing Jimmy Vaughn.
Yeah.
It was cool. So it's pretty crazy to be sharing the stage with him.
Yeah. What a great thing, man. I think you guys are going to go on to great things. Is there anything I'm missing outside of the other eight people?
There's probably something that I'm missing.
Well, you guys, we'll have you guys back on again. Remember, you can find out all about Continental Drift at Continental. I'm saying it. Continental Drift. ContinentalDriftMusic.com. 10-piece. This is what I wrote. Psych, groove, afro, horns, instrumental. I mean, it's kind of like, that's good, right?
Yeah.
Your EP totally. Is out. It's self-titled, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Self-titled.
And you can find them. Let's just talk about the Saturday, August 22nd at the Scoot Inn.
Oh, yeah. We should talk
that's
a little bit more
big,
about
that.
Yeah.
That's your big EP release party. You're going to have physical EPs?
Yeah. There? We'll have CDs and tapes.
Okay.
And
I love tapes. That people make tapes now.
Yeah, it's great. We just met. I mean, it was just like,
it's cool
so
as shit.
Cheap.
Yeah. And it's cool.
And there's a market. People want it.
Like, and even if there's just three of those dudes, keep them and go like, fuck, man, listen to it on cassette. Yeah, I know you heard it on the internet, but you didn't fucking hear the words on this cassette.
Yeah.
That's
people
cool
are,
as shit.
I'm excited to put tape it, machines man. In their cars excited. Now. Like, it's pretty fun. I mean, I'm not like super, I haven't gotten into it on that level, but, you know, it's cool though. And there's, it'd be silly not to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have both of those and, be at the show with the other vendors and stuff.
All the vendors, and of course, Golden Dawn Orchestra,
yeah.
Telenovela.
They're great,
Banico
too.
Airlines. Yeah, Telenovela is great. And all Cilantro Boombox.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And so right now you can get tickets for $10.
Oh, really?
Which,
they can
for,
go,
for
if
that,
they go
for
to
that
your
lineup,
website,
yeah,
they can find. Okay, so
go
just
to
go to ContinentalDriftMusic.com.
Facebook. Facebook, it's real easy to find all that okay. stuff. We have an event up. And I think Golden Dawn also has an event page up,
okay.
And Solstice will be linking to it a lot. But definitely recommend doing the $10 tickets now because it will go up. Can't remember.
Yeah, bitches, get
and,
it now.
And you know, if it sells out, that sucks.
If it sells out, that's awesome.
No,
that's
I mean,
a huge
no,
backyard.
It's no, that's my nightmare. I don't want it to sell. No, it
what
would
is
be
wrong
awesome.
With you?
It would be awesome for it to sell. I mean, like if you wanted to go to the show. It, and you haven't gotten tickets, that would suck.
Yeah.
But, man, it's a big place, but that with that lineup, like, you know, we surrounded ourselves with bands who have
great.
A lot of, have a big following and for good reason.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
you guys will
cool
have a
show.
Huge following for very good reason very soon.
Thank
thanks for coming
that,
on the
man.
Show, man.
Thank you so
you
much.
You guys are awesome. Hey, all right. Continental Drift, David and Jedediah, fantastic conversation with them. Don't forget, you can look them up at ContinentalDriftMusic.com. Hear a couple songs from their EP, which they recorded just this past May. Don't forget, they're playing Friday, August 7th at Stay Gold. Sunday, August 9th, they continue their residency once a month at Stay Gold. Go on out and see that. And of course, Saturday, August 22nd, Solstice presents Continental Drift EP release at the Scoot Inn. Lots of bands, lots of good times. I'd like to thank the folks from Solstice for hooking me up with Continental Drift. Matt and Lauren, thank you guys. Fantastic. Get out there and see that show. It's a lot of great bands. Golden Arm Orchestra, Telenovela, Banico Airlines, and Cilantro Boombox that night. All right. Continental Drift, great guys. 10-piece band playing the psych afro beat jams that you need for your life. So while you're out there looking up Continental Drift on the internet, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy on both of those mediums. This show is called How Did I Get Here? I would like to thank you for listening. That was episode 401. We're getting into a new thing now. New World of Podcast 401. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get into some more music from Continental Drift. All right. Let's do it. Let's get down. Have a great week, everyone.